This is Jason Block here at CLW83.com for WLTI Live and Game Show Newsnet with a special extra here. And I am here at the Millennium Broadway Hotel in New York City with the most famous middle school math teacher in the world right now, or at least in America right now.
I got a message this morning from an old high school friend who lives in Sweden, and the news had made its way over to him.
Wow, that's very, very cool.
Probably through friends of friends, and not that it's on the Swedish news there.
And also, who should be at work at Tacoma Park Middle School, though.
But has used one of her personal days, as we are given three per year to use as we see fit.
Because she is here in New York on her press tour, because she is the latest and third millionaire on Wheel of Fortune, because she won this past Wednesday on September 17th on the season premiere. Her name is Sarah Manchester for Silver Spring. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Great to be here and talk to you.
Now, do you get up to New York City often?
I try to get up about once a year. I love the city, the vibe, the energy here. It's just unique. I've never been in another city like it. So, you know, the crowds. We love to come at Christmas time. It's so beautiful. And I don't really mind the crowds. I can elbow my way through to see the tree at Rockefeller Center. I visited the Museum of Math yesterday. I was curious about
that. I didn't even know we had a Museum of Math.
It's a pretty recent opening within the past year. So it's exciting to me that there is a museum now that's devoted to mathematics.
I will have to check that out, actually.
Please do.
And how long have you been a math teacher and a math coach?
About 18 years, so pretty much since I started teaching, I've been at the same school. And my second year of teaching, I took over coaching for the Math Counts team at Tacoma.
And how good are they?
They're tremendously good. Some of them are what you'd say scary good. I mean, they have a lot of natural talent, but they also work very hard. They put in a lot of hours beyond the practices that we do at school to learn strategies, to work through the old competitions. They have a lot of fun, but they are very competitive and very driven as well.
And you said they went to the White House.
A number of years ago, yes, we had when the national competition was in D.C. It moves around, but we got a chance to visit the White House and meet the president and the vice president. And the kids were hilarious when we got back, and they were asking me, did you quiz the president? Did you ask him any math problems? And
the president and the vice president have a lot more math problems than they.
I don't think I should put the president on the spot like that. I'm sure my mathletes have much stronger math skills than any of the presidents, so I wouldn't embarrass the president like that.
Right. And now, what inspired you to become a math teacher?
I've always loved math. Back in elementary school, I started doing different kinds of competitions, and they would have problem of the week, and you could solve it and put your answer in a box, and then they would draw for a prize. So I've loved math as long as I can remember. I studied math in college, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do with it, so I figured, I'll give teaching a try, and obviously I really enjoyed it, because I'm still doing it.
Yeah, my dad was a teacher for 50 years, by the way.
Wow.
Electricity, electronics, and auto shop.
Uh-huh.
So, auto shop is not taught as much anymore, but that he was electricity before it became computers and all that sort of stuff. Math is important now, these days, isn't it?
It is very important, yeah. I mean, I think people don't necessarily realize how much mathematics there is, behind the technology and the computer science, how most of it boils down to zeros and ones at some level. And I would say, somebody out there has got to know how the computers work. When the kids say, well, I can use the calculator, I say, well, somebody's got to know how the calculator works, and it's got to be able to program the calculator and make better calculators, and so somebody has to understand what's going on behind the scenes, and I think mathematics is critical for that.
Okay, so were you a fan of the show before you actually applied?
Oh, absolutely. When I was a little kid back in the 80s, I started watching the show in the early years of Pat and Vanna. When you would take your winnings and buy things in the prize showcase, the grandfather clock, the family camping package. And
of course, Sheldon the Ceramic Dalmatian, you say.
Yes, I would love one. I actually have looked on eBay to see if, maybe there's some winner from the 80s that needs to make some cash and would like to part with their ceramic Dalmatian, but I have not come across one yet.
Okay.
They did have one at the studio on display.
Yeah, did you take a picture with it?
I don't think that I did. I think that was right after the show. Things were a little
things
bit...
Are, which we'll get to. Oh, we will get to that. So what was your application process like?
So I went to the Wheelmobile last fall when it was stopping down in Northern Virginia. Huge, you know, turnout. I could see there were way more people there than would ever get a chance to audition. But I filled out my application. I tried to think of some unusual things I could put down, like, you know, math team coach seemed different because there's a lot of teachers on the show, obviously, but I'd never heard anybody talking about coaching math team. I wrote about how much we like duck pin bowling in our family, which is kind of a Maryland thing.
Yeah.
How much I love classic 80s arcade games. I was wearing a Pac-Man hoodie that day.
Hello, there you go. Now there's my wheelhouse right there. I mean, I was a... what was that? The Robotron 2084. Guy.
Yes,
yes. Of course, but it was very hard to get the two.
To get the feel of the two joysticks. Yeah,
yes.
You know, and I sometimes on the phone, you know, I'll come across versions of these 80s games, but I can't play them on my phone. I need a real joystick. I love.
You should get one of those classic arcade tables. You know.
I mean, I guess I could now. That could certainly be a splurge purchase.
Yes, so. You go through the first process, and when do you get the next notification that you go on?
It was a couple months, so I really wasn't, you know, holding out a lot of hope at that point because it did seem like it had been a long time since the first audition. And then I got an email, and you know, they gave a number to call back if you were interested, and they said, you know, call back as soon as you can because we have a limited number of spots. And I think I called within like 3 minutes of getting the email. I mean, it appeared in my box, and instantly, like, yes, yes, I'll be there.
And so you went through the second audition.
Right.
Then what?
So at the end of the second audition, you know, and that was a longer process. There was more practice gameplay. We had to do a written test and solving some puzzles. They told us that within 2 weeks, if you're invited to be on the show, you will get a letter by mail. We're not going to call. We're not going to email you in the mail. You'll get a letter. And if there is no letter after 2 weeks, you can assume that we did not pick you. So it was 2 weeks were up, and then the next day I'm thinking, okay, I better post something because friends have been asking what's happening. And then I got home, and there was a letter. So
and you flew out to California when? When did you tape?
May 1st was the taping, so that was probably maybe 2 or 3 months after I had received the letter.
And okay, so you're in the taping, and it's day three. They're taping the third show.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's actually take you back to that day. You did okay in the first round. You won $27.50. You got the wild card, half car, solving the complete works of William Shakespeare. Now, in your mind, did you think, okay, trip is okay, paid for, sort of, at that point?
Well, it wasn't quite paid for since I brought, you know, my husband, both my kids came along, my dad came. So I wasn't quite out of the hole yet. I certainly was hoping to win some more, but I thought, you know, I don't want to be too risky this round. I'd like to have something other than zero under my name. It would feel good. And also to have the wild card was a factor, and to get that half car.
Right.
So I decided to just... you know, play it a little bit safe there and do the solve.
In the second round, you did use the wild card. Do you regret using it?
I don't. You know, I mean, $3,500 is a pretty amazing amount, and if there happened to be two or three of those, you know, that could be a quick $10,000 right there. So, certainly it was disappointing that I called a letter that wasn't there, but I don't regret the move, no.
But in round three, you dominated. You controlled the wheel from start to finish.
Yeah, and... A lot of that is luck, you know. I mean, I didn't hit bankrupt. I didn't hit lose a turn, so...
But what you did hit was the million-dollar wedge on the last spin of the round before you solved it, which, in the way people get the million-dollar wedge, was very unique because you didn't have to hold on to it
right.
very
Usually,
long.
Yeah, people tend to get it a little earlier and then often, you know, lose it to a bankrupt, and so that's...
Right.
Certainly, and one of the factors that contributed to my good outcome.
Right, and if you do know, Michelle Lowenstein, who got it first, she got it on the very first spin and had to hold on to it through the entire game. So you had a very interesting, unique perspective. So you're going to, at that point, you have $14,490, and you're going to the Dominican Republic in a beautiful hotel called the Hard Rock. And then later on, you solve the last toss up, go right into the final spin, you win $17,490, and you've got the million-dollar wedge. take us through the bonus round. You know, let you land on the three-star wedge, and remember, as you said, the probability was low. You do know what the actual probability is.
That's pretty easy. There's 24 spots on the bonus wheel. That's a 1 in 24 chance of hitting the million, so it's not... it's not inconceivable at that point, but it still wasn't something I was really thinking like, oh, I have a semi-realistic chance of getting the million. I was still thinking, if I had to make a prediction, maybe a 35 or 40, which would have been great to walk away with 50,000 in cash and prizes. Fantastic. That's so, really, kind of the most that I could have dared to hope for.
So the RST L&E pop-up, and you see...
Loud laughter.
You see it.
Right away, I couldn't believe that, they were going to give me the first letter in both words. They were going to give me the last syllable of the second word. It really was definitely one of the easier bonus round puzzles.
So you win, and you're like, okay. And then when Pat says, can you use $1 million? Take us through that sort of visual. Do you actually see the wedge? Did you see it?
But I remember, him opening the card and kind of seeing letters there, which, normally you see there's digits, but the letters only mean, one thing. And, of course, he'd set it to, dragged it out a few seconds there.
You could have won the car. You never know.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I wasn't even really thinking about the car. I was thinking about cash. But, car would have been great, too. But I was just stunned, just completely unexpected, astonished, thrilled. Obviously, but probably more disbelief than anything else at that moment.
So, as you said, you took your father, you took your husband, and you took your daughter, Raina, and your son, Alden.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, you can't really blab about what happened until the show actually airs.
No, coworkers and friends that would ask. For about a week after the taping, I got a lot of questions, and then people kind of... faded into the background. People weren't thinking about it. And then, once we came back to school and it was only a short time away, I started getting more questions again. And people thinking they could get something out of me.
Yeah, but who had the hardest time keeping the secret?
Well, that would be my son, Alden. He's a very social 8-year-old. He loves to talk. And we thought this is going to be hard for him. But, I explained to him, I said, I could get in big trouble. They could even decide not to give me the money if you tell people. So that's obviously a pretty scary consequence. We figured, if he did happen to blab it to his friends, we could kind of pass it off as, 8-year-olds exaggerate. Kids tell tall tales that people wouldn't really believe him if he just started saying that on the playground. But then about a week before the show aired, he got an assignment in class to write about the happiest day of his life. So he knew right away what he wanted to write about, but he went to his teacher and said, well, I know what I want to write about, but I'm not allowed to say it yet. And so she said, why don't you write about it, but I won't read it right away. But they didn't really clarify what, right away was when she could read it. So... And he came home the next day, and he asked me, he said, can I tell one person about what happened? He said, one trustable person. I said, who's this trustable person? And he said, my teacher. I said, well, you've kept it a secret this long. I think you can hold out another week. And then, I think it was maybe the next day, he said, well, I kind of told her, but I didn't really tell her. I wrote it down, but I think she read it. And so I said, well, let me go talk to your teacher. I figured I needed to know at that point if somebody else knew. And so I went into her classroom at the end of back to school night and said, so did you read Alden's essay yet? And she got a big smile and kind of nodded. And I said, you know, this is completely hush hush. She said, oh, yeah, I understand. Don't worry. The secret's safe with me. I'm not going to tell anybody. So I was a little nervous about that, but she seemed very reassuring that, this would be a secret.
And, you had a viewing party, of course?
We did. We had a wonderful viewing party. Lots of family members came out, my friends from school, friends from college were there, friends from our neighborhood. It was, and that's one of the things I was really looking forward to, was getting to share the the moment with so many wonderful people, and it was an amazing evening.
Yeah, I bet. What was their reaction when that card showed up? That must have been interesting.
It was loud. You know, there were certainly loud moments throughout the evening, and a couple awes of disappointment. But I told him, I said, you know, the other people on the show were really nice too. I was glad they won something. You know, I didn't want to.
They all did do very well.
They did. You know, and I used to think, oh, I'd love to go on that show and be the dominator and crush the competition. And then I got there and I got to know the other teachers. I thought, they're all nice people. They've worked hard to get here. I hope we all do well. And on that show, yeah, I mean, you know, trip to Vietnam, you know, nice chunk of cash. So everybody ended the show on a high note, I think.
Yeah. Now, I got to ask, your kids get cash for solving the puzzle.
They do. I give, you know, $1.
So is the level going to go up a little bit?
Maybe a little bit. You know, I don't want to, you know, have them like drowning in just disposable cash that they can spend frivolously. We'll see. I mean, I hope they'll just continue to watch it with me for the fun. And I used to get, you know, satisfaction if I could beat my parents to solving the puzzle. So I hope they'll get that same kind of, you know, satisfaction just from figuring it out.
So now the money is going to come. What do you have plans for the money?
So college certainly is a priority. College funds for the kids. Bulking up the retirement savings is important. Travel plans are in the works. We're going to go. My daughter's chorus is going to be touring in France next summer.
Oh boy, and that's fun.
Before the show, that would have been her traveling and mom and dad staying home and working to pay for the trip, and now we're going to do a family trip. Though we've assured her we're not going to be in her business. You know, she wants her distance, and that's fine. We'll go. We'll
do the two-day clap.
Cheer when they sing, and then we'll keep away from her the rest of the time.
Have a nice glass of wine on a cafe somewhere.
Oh sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
And of course, the Dominican Republic trip we're excited about. Never been there.
Punta Cana is a beautiful, beautiful area.
Yeah, well, I think from the puzzle, exceptional wildlife preserves. So I'm hoping to see some amazing animals there. So you know, traveling, we're excited about that possibility. And then, you know, sitting down as a family too, just talking about how we can, you know, share the winnings, share this good fortune. There's already various social, environmental, cultural organizations that I give donations to, and now I can donate more. You know, talk to the kids. What are some causes that they would like to support? So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Are you nervous about what the kids are going to say Monday when you go back?
A little bit, yeah. You know, I have plans ready. I hope we'll be able to get some geometry done that day. But
yeah, I thought it was algebra and trigonometry.
Well, I teach geometry and I teach algebra too.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, two preps. So we'll see. You know, I anticipate things will be a little maybe stirred up for a while, but I hope we get back into our routine pretty quickly.
Last thing, do you realize that you are part of game show history, being only the third person to do this, and, you know, the third woman to do this as well, because no guy has done it.
Well, I know, so there's
a challenge for us guys there to do it.
You know, I certainly realize that. It feels a little strange, because, you know, a lot of it is just luck. You know, you spin a little harder, a little softer, and that's the difference between bankrupt and $1 million. So it's a little weird to think that the tiniest, you know, I mean, it really is the butterfly effect. You know, that butterfly flaps its wings and the wheels, you know, lands one space to the left, and you lost everything instead of winning $1 million. So it's a strange thing to think about.
And then you wouldn't have been here with me. And thank you very much for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
And good luck with all your math teaching and all that good stuff, because we need more qualified teachers and all the good stuff. I respect them very, very much. Thank you so much.
Interrupt.